You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is good? Welcome back to the Van Flip Podcast. I'm sitting here with the Ismit brothers, who are you're youngsters, so to speak, but you're in a band called Hammerhead. That's Hammer H-E-D-D, if you're looking that up. So Hammerhead. But you, the weird thing about you guys is, like, you're relatively young. Like, you know, you've been doing this quite a while too. So we'll get into that. But first, introduce yourselves.
I'm Eli, and I play drums.
Henry, I play guitar, and I sing.
Abe, I play bass
and keys.
Cool. And how old are you guys? Because you are a brother, so you obviously, are you born at the same time, or are you born at different times?
21, 18, 16.
Okay, so you just look really young then, too. That's a good thing when you get older, so don't let anyone fool you about it.
It'll be good soon.
Yeah, it kind of sucks because, like, you know, you're the only one that can drink, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you get like 40, you'll be like, hey, that guy looks like 28. Trust me.
Anyway, yeah.
It pays off. So you guys have been doing this for quite some time. Like, even though you are relatively young, like, you know, the youngest being 18. How long have you, like, you were formed in what, 2012, right?
Yeah. That's kind of an arbitrary number. That's out there. I think we said that, like, just because we
no,
all
that's right. That's right.
Yeah, I guess that's right. That's right.
Youngest is 16, by the way. This one over here.
Oh, okay. No. Damn. So when did you join the band then?
He was like, what, 7? That's why I'm saying it's arbitrary, because we all just started playing.
Jamming together.
Before that, we were just kind of jamming like little toy blocks and bricks and stuff. We got real instruments in like 2012.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. So you guys are always like musically inclined and whatnot. So what kind of led you to that path? Like, how did all three of you guys, you know, become in the band together and into music?
Our uncles and my dad are all super into music. They play it all the time. We just watched them and they had instruments that we could pick up. And yeah,
our parents are musically inclined.
Yes. My uncle had a drum set and
we always, our dad,
mom plays piano. Dad,
our mom is super musically inclined, but our dad is like, where we got our first, like, our intro to what we like, you know, our music taste from, like Rush and Zeppelin. And, you know, we heard a lot of good music in the house, basically.
Interesting. And then you guys just started like jamming together as like just children, but like, at one point, when did you guys start taking it more than just like hanging out, being brothers?
I would say we always thought of it as way more than what it was, but maybe still, probably still.
I think you kind of have to do that. Like, for your band to, like, I don't know, improve, you have to think you're really good when you're like 2 years into it, you know?
Tenacious D, Jack Black says, like, them saying they're the greatest band of all time is like half a joke. Like, if you don't believe you're awesome, then
yeah,
you're just like basically, you know, a local cover band or a local bar. You know, we always thought we were sick, but like I guess it started. I consider like our first real gig in like probably 2016, maybe.
Okay.
4 years later.
Yeah.
It was still like all Metallica covers probably.
So you guys started as a cover band and generally. So when did you guys start like writing original stuff? Or was that always something that you did inside, you just didn't play out like that?
Exactly. Yeah. We kind of just we still had the wherewithal to be like, they're not good enough to play live yet. We were better at playing other people, you know, covering. So that was what we did live, I think 99% of the time until probably 2016 or 17. 5 years in.
Interesting. You said your dad was musically inclined, and I know I recently saw you guys. You guys came. I'm recording in Jacksonville, so out of Florida. You guys recently came here. I was trying to look it up on my set list FM, but like for some reason, I guess I didn't log that show. But you guys came and played Archetype. I can't remember the tour package. That's what I was trying to remember. But
yes, no, you're wrong. It was Archetypes was with Skeletal Remains and
yes.
Who's the? Are they local to Jacksonville? Rhythm of Fear.
Yes.
Yeah. That was I actually liked that show a lot. It was kind of like you were there. You said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was like the not a packed house. I liked that venue a lot though, and it was kind of around 4th of July.
Okay, so I was trying to figure out the time frame because I was like, when was that? But I didn't remember Rhythm of Fear playing, which is odd. But I also didn't remember the other name of the band that. That played along that tour package, which was Skeletal Remains, which I was thinking it was something like that, but I couldn't put my finger on it. But yeah, glad you like that venue. It's no longer around, so that sucks. But
oh, what?
Yeah, it closed recently.
That kind of dark dome.
Yeah, I actually thought it was. They just? That's sad. I thought the guy was telling me they just did a renovation or something.
I mean, they were constantly doing stuff, but there's a lot of stuff going on with the back property and just. Stuff like that with the city, so they just gave it up. But yeah, it's a bummer because that place is one of the shows. I mean, that place was the place that had those types of shows, like underground metal shows and hardcore shows and stuff like that. So
I liked it because you walked right from the back door onto the stage. That was super convenient.
Yeah.
for like the kind of show it was.
Yeah, and I brought that up because you guys, I don't know if it was your uncle or your dad, but you seemed to be with some like a family member when you were here. So is that like a normal thing?
That was our dad.
Dad. He went on the first tour. Yeah, we jumped on. So we're calling that the first tour that we've ever done. It was like six shows with Skeletal Remains as direct support for them. And then that show specifically, Rhythm of Fear, played maybe after us. So they were actually direct support for.
Yes.
Like, right.
Because they're like a bigger metal band here.
But, no, they didn't play before.
They played after. They played after. We watched their set after because we had an argument about it. It got contentious actually. They're cool dudes. I like them. What was I saying? That was our first tour, kind of. It was like six shows to sort of get into it, and it was like Dad wanted to come because first of all it's fun, and second of all
exactly.
And second of all he like.
Protection.
There's just stuff to like learn how to highway drive super safely, which
or in general just like business stuff too. And again, like you're younger than 16 there, so obviously it's probably not the best parental decision just to let them go nilly willy with the 21 year old.
Exactly. Even though I'd like to think of myself as responsible, he was like, hell no,
I get it. I can see both sides, to be honest with you. But was there any like was there any influence from him as far as like you guys like being a band, like, or is it just something that you all, the three of you, kind of did where like you book your shows? Obviously, like, he may help you now because like there's a thing going on with you guys, but like in the beginning, was it just kind of like a DIY thing, or did they kind of always like your mom or dad help you out with that?
Like show booking wise and like all the duties of what would be a manager.
Mm-hmm.
My mom would probably love to take credit for being the manager through the first like 6 years. But honestly, there was nothing. We weren't like seeking shows or really honestly for like 6 or 8 years. We always wanted to, but we had school and sports and.
Yeah, you're like super young at this point.
Yeah, Abe still does. So, but we all, that's why we're easing into stuff. But they would always, like our family always came to shows and. We always had to have somebody 21 or over to get into a bar.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. They were there mostly because they just wanted to see us play and like be there with us, but and support us. But that was also another reason you can't get into places without an adult.
Yeah.
Let's
back it up all the way back to, you know, when things started kind of getting interesting for you guys. You guys went viral a few times when you were younger, and that's kind of like where you guys blip into the map, right, so to speak. Like Metallica, I guess, retweeted or shared some of your covers or something like that, right?
Yeah,
it was 2016. We were like on the street for a gig, and our whole set was Metallica covers. I think specifically just, yeah. The one they did was we did like a medley of Injustice for All, and then I think they said Nice Work.
Yeah, they retweeted okay. It was so there was like one person consistently actually on the street watching us, and she took a video. Her name's Catherine, mm-hmm. and posted on Facebook, and that was like I was in high school one day, and I like saw us on the news. And I came home and I was like, oh my God. And then we just kind of watched it go. It was fun. We got like, we didn't have any social media or anything public as a band at that point. So we didn't gain really anything tangible from it. We did get like, we set up a Hammerhead email at that point because of that video. And we played like maybe the in between periods at the St. Louis Blues game at our Sprint Center. That was like the one thing we did because of that. That was fun. And then a few more times we've had videos that were like us playing live, or it's usually a phone video from a friend of ours or maybe our dad, or I don't know who takes it. We just cut like the best song of the set and put it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need that. We need to have that happen again. Maybe.
Need a little more viral video action going on.
Yeah.
What is it like, obviously now, because you would have the ability, like the socials and stuff like that, it probably would work out a little bit better. And I mean, obviously you were younger when it happened to you, so it was probably a strange occurrence, you know, but it did give you like, I would assume that just drove you guys even further, right? Like to do whatever it is you were doing at the time.
Yeah, it was mostly, I looked at it at the time, if we weren't going to do actually anything tangible with it, if anything, it kind of just solidified that, like, we can make something out of this, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we can actually do something with this and we can keep going. And we always all thought that, but it kind of solidified it at that point. A few of those videos did, especially later, like maybe 3 years ago or 4 years ago, we had a few.
Five, right?
It was before COVID. Before
COVID.
Started posting to YouTube, and then, I think that one just kind of slow build. That wasn't like a viral one. No, the original song.
Oh yeah, we always have like recently we had a video, an older video of ours go viral again on Reddit, but we're not on Reddit. Like it always happens like that.
Right. Yeah.
Just goes somewhere else and gets.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
But either way, someone finds you in some which way. So
yeah,
you know, it's all good. Even though you're not on there,
yeah. You still see it on other social media. Like it's
all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now that you have social media, it's even more beneficial because you can catch it all. So you were writing like, not so good songs earlier on, whilst also doing covers of like Metallica and whatnot, which is, you know, pretty telling because you can tell there's a Metallica influence in even like your new stuff. So that's interesting that, you know, you guys grew up on that, but the two correlate together. But you don't just sound like Metallica. I should probably preface with that to everybody. You don't just sound like Metallica. To me, it's more like you guys are mini Gojira. That's what I kind of think it is. Yeah, mini Gojira. My buddy is a little Tool. He hears Tool in there, and I'm like, I don't understand that, but I get it, I guess.
In the new stuff, maybe, yeah. Specifically the newest song, I can definitely hear why people would say Tool. I've heard that a few times.
The Gojira thing is definitely prevalent. But again, it's like mixed with Metallica, mixed with maybe some Tool vibes and some other stuff. But so you guys were early on, you know, doing the cover thing, writing like crappy songs. Eventually at some point you start making songs that aren't that crappy enough to where you guys make an album in 2018. So how did Essence of Iron come about?
That album, EP. Yeah. EP. That EP came. Yeah, I look back on that and that's a Gojira album. that's a Gojira EP. Not as good, but that's a Gojira EP. That's what me and Eli were addicted to. We like discovered them maybe that year, 2 years before.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But our friend in the metal scene in Kansas City, Dan Whitmer and Josh Cole, they're in a different band together. Recorded, produced, and mixed that album. They really helped us along with that. We like recorded that in our basement with them there, and they did pretty much everything. Along with David Sanchez from Havoc, mastered the album.
Okay, we
just opened for Havoc, and I got his number and I texted him. So,
Hilarious.
I came about.
Very random, yeah.
Random.
Yeah. Interesting. So you guys write the songs then too, right? Like, it's not like anybody else helping, you know, because obviously, like, you guys are so young, people will obviously like inquire as to like who's writing the material.
Oh yeah, 100%, us in the, you know, in the basement.
Grinding it. Yeah. So you said your parents, like your dad specifically, got you into like bands like Rush and Led Zeppelin and obviously like the classic rock and roll. But you just mentioned like you found Gojira a couple years prior to the album. So like 2016, 18 era. Like, how did you stumble into like heavier music from, you know, the traditional classic rock?
Well, we were into Metallica in 2012. Like, so our dad introduced us to like everything and also Metallica. Yeah. And then Metallica obviously opens up a, you know,
right,
the worms on everything. Mm-hmm. And we just, yeah, slowly, you know, meander through all the metal and eventually end up at Gojira.
Past that too is like lately, yeah, even heavier.
You just get heavier and heavier.
I'd say after Gojira and Meshuggah and Tool and Mastodon, those types of bands like that, I consider them all kind of one group of, you know,
open. progressive metal.
Yeah. After I got that, like after I discovered all those bands and got addicted to them for like 2.5-3 years, still am pretty much. My taste just became pickier after that. It didn't go heavier. I never went heavier after that. My taste just got like super picky. I can't, after that, there's not like a metal band or subgenre of metal that has got me like they, yeah.
So you don't like, other, I guess, you know, other genres really, you just kind of like the progressive, heavier stuff.
Well, you can name specific bands, and usually like every
to it, but obviously it doesn't draw you in as much. Like, you but know,
the, like I never went down like a death metal wormhole, or I've never gotten into black metal. I've never the super technical stuff. Never gotten into that really. The metal train for me and Eli kind of stopped there. Really,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not to say it won't get going again, but that's pretty much where it stopped for now.
You're pretty young in general, and honestly, like, if it makes you feel any better, like, I'm just getting into black metal. It's something that like irked me for a long time. So some things obviously change as you age, so you'll get into things more often. Like, I was a metalcore kid when I was like your age, right? So I was into like the late, you know, early 2000s metalcore, which was like, you know, I don't know, everybody, Poison the Well, Every Time I Die, Gene, all those bands. But I like didn't like hardcore, so it wasn't like, you know, my favorite at the time. But as I've gotten older, it's like totally flipped. I like hardcore now a lot more than I do metalcore, and then I'll find myself liking like post metal or black metal or some weird fucking metal, you know. So it, I see what you mean by like you get a little more pickier and stuff like that. So
exactly. We just kind of sort of discover that hardcore shows are something else. The last year or two we've been on a lot of those bills. Like the latest show we did here in Kansas City was Knocked Loose, and those dudes crazy.
They're that's a little different. They're hardcore, but they also like definitely do well with like the Slipknot crowd. You know what I mean? Like
you're right.
Mainstream metal crowd, because they play a lot of those shows and a lot of those fans know of that band now. But yeah, Not Loose does have some crazy shows, but you know, I think in the last couple of years here, especially because Instagram's, but you know, Reels have gotten so popular and TikTok, a lot of like hardcore content, like especially mosh pit content, is making its way to like, you know, these platforms, and people are just losing their mind. Which, you know, a lot of people watch the crowd killing aspect of it, which is gets kind of wild. But you know, you grow up with, like for me, it's something you grow up in, and it's like it sucks. It's not like awesome all the time, and you got to have your head on a fucking swivel. But you know, it's part of the whole ordeal. And even if I don't like it all the time, it's just part of the whole scene. So
yeah. Oh yeah, I get it. Seen a lot of that stuff on social media recently. It's cool. I think that's cool. You know, it's good that stuff like that is I like that kind of stuff. So
yeah, well, it shows the mass people like these little niche.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you prefer, like, speaking of mosh pits, like you probably played different bills. Like you said, you play some hardcore shows, like Knock Loose and such, but you also play like, you know, other regular rock shows, right? Push mosh shows, I should say. What kind of mosh pit situation do you prefer? Like the hardcore kid dancing, swinging his fists, or the push mosher guy, or?
I would say we never get like the, I mean, maybe one or two times ever. We never get that even when the headlining band does. So like Knocked Loose, for example, they would do like the old, they were doing the old school mosh pit, like, you know,
yeah,
it's more of a circle kind of pushing, you know, but then Knocked Loose comes on and they do all that shit. That's mostly what we are. I'd say a lot of people, this is not a good or bad thing. They are into it and they're just kind of standing there like nodding along or just headbanging or something. It's mostly that.
Well, I think that one had to do with like that show. We were playing a lot of the new stuff and it's like way more complicated. So you kind of,
especially when nobody knows the song, you know, it, or if you're first of four on a bill.
It's a lot of, not a lot to take in, but there's a lot to ingest. Like you're sitting there and you're like, okay, because you guys look younger than your age, so they're like, what is going on? Like, is this kid coming to play like a birthday party, like coming from a birthday talent show type situation? And then like you guys start playing and it's like, you know, Baby Gojira kind of stuff, and it's just like, what the fuck? So I get why people would just be standing there nodding their head, but you know, again, like, you're just 21 now and you're about to release another album. Like, so there's many things to come and obviously more shows to be had. But so you had like that first little tour, right? That first little 6-8 tour. So what all has kind of come your way since then? What was that, last July, right? So
yeah.
Obviously you're still in school. The youngest is still in school and you got to kind of navigate around that. Do you just want to like drop out and just like fucking tour all the time?
Well, school, with the thing that came out of that was basically now we've been on the road and now we have the slightest bit of, you know, credit with our booking agent can be like, he can send out to be people and be like, they've been on the road, like,
right,
they can be a first of four, second of four band. So this fall we got Abe out of school for 15 days. And we did 10 shows with In Flames and Darkest Hour on the East Coast.
Yeah.
It was awesome. That was super fun. And more stuff lined up that we'll probably announce right with the album.
When is the album? What's the release date on that?
February 24th.
Okay, so this is coming out after that. So if you want to talk about that, you can definitely talk. This is coming out like in 2 months.
Oh, okay, sweet. I don't know when the dates are going to be announced. We only have a few dates that I know we can talk about, which is Welcome to Rockville in Daytona Beach, Florida. And there's a festival in Tulsa that we're playing on April 1st. Those are the two dates. And then,
That's you kind of are in that Danny Wilmer world now, right? This is like you played Rockville before, so. Yeah, you're in that little wheelhouse, which will be good, obviously, because those crowds are kind of insane. They're pretty big.
Yeah, we can't wait.
Actually, I saw Metallica for the first time at that Rockville.
Really?
I had never seen Metallica before, yeah. So that was my first time.
What year?
Last year? Whatever, the year they played two shows.
Oh, what? I didn't know they played Rockville. That's awesome.
Yeah, they played Rockville either 21 or, 21.
Sweet. What'd you think? I've seen them twice.
Technically I've seen them twice. They played one night, they played a bunch of like real good throwback, like early album stuff. And then the other, well, like a mix. They also played like, you know, singles from the other later albums too.
Yeah.
But then the other night they played the Black Album in reverse, and that was such a snooze fest. But the other, I don't know what it was. That album just wasn't it just didn't do it for me like the other night did. But yeah, the other night was pretty badass because they did all like a bunch of older stuff, and then they played a bunch of like the newer, not really Metallica songs that I really like. So, from the Load and Reload albums. So
yeah,
it was good. I definitely would go again on this whatever tour they got coming up. So
yeah, I'm the closest is in St. Louis to us. I would consider going to that. I would not go to two. They're doing two shows every city. I wouldn't do two. Them indoors, I've seen them once outdoor, one indoor. Indoors is so much better. I thought they were awesome at our arena locally. It was awesome.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll have to take that into consideration.
Are they in the stadium in St. Louis?
Yeah, no, they're in their arena now.
Oh, okay.
Should be way better. Yeah.
So when you're hanging out, like when you're on tour with Skeletal Remains or like the guys in Flames, like what's it like interacting with those guys? Because they're definitely older than you are. Do they find it like hilarious or like, you know, kitschy that you guys are so young on the road, or do they just kind of like ignore you guys?
Oh, no. The dudes that we've been on tour with, Darkest Hour, In Flames, and Upon a Burning Body and Skeletal Remains, they've all been awesome. They like the dudes in Flames, we hung out like every day, especially the younger ones that are in the band, newly in the band, Tanner and Bryce, the bassist and the drummer. And yeah, they're awesome. It is. And also they are like being on tour with In Flames it's the luckiest thing ever. Like in a lot of ways, it's super lucky, but it is like the most luxury thing, generally speaking, compared to any other show or tour we've ever done. They run their show super professionally. It's like a party for all the bands every night, you know, like a house party almost. It's awesome.
They've been around for quite some time, so you know they've definitely gained notoriety and respect, and obviously the ability to do tours like that. So,
oh yeah,
I actually just saw them as well. I think it might have been, you know, because they just when they come to America, they play here for. I feel like they've been playing here for months because they're kept announcing tour after tour after tour in America. So it was interesting, but I saw them in Atlanta not that long ago, and I actually just had Anders on the podcast a couple months ago, the podcast episode comes out in a week or two, but a while ago, November, maybe I had him on.
Otters is awesome. He is. I do not know how his voice is that insane. Still, he's crazy.
Sweet. Yeah, what were the dates when you guys were on tour with him?
We hopped on right after Atlanta. That was with Meshuggah. You saw him with Meshuggah.
Yeah.
We hopped on with him the day after in St. Petersburg, Florida.
What day was that though?
October 17th or 18th.
Okay. I'm trying to remember when I recorded that episode with him. Because you could have been on tour with him.
That could have happened. That came out. It doesn't come out yet. That's funny. He specifically was sick for like maybe half the time we were on tour with them. So he was sort of in the bus a lot and felt bad about like being around us. Some, you know, he didn't want to get us sick.
Right.
I felt terrible for him. I couldn't believe how he was singing every night still. But yeah, they're all awesome dudes. They're super cool. Same with the Darkest Hour guys. Super cool.
So how does being around that kind of music, you know, cause like you said before, you know, other kind of genres and stuff like that don't necessarily grab you, but obviously seeing them every night, In Flames and Darkest Hour, they're both different style, you know, metal music for the most part. So like, how does that influence you guys? And like, do you take that, like, you know, like, oh my God, they're killing it on the guitar. I have to kill it harder.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's obviously all professional between us and them and friendly, but we're incredibly competitive. Especially if you're on the same bill as somebody like that, I don't know how else you would. I don't know how you wouldn't be competitive, especially when you're the first of four or second of four. You got to put on the greatest show you possibly can. Their influence on me, getting off that tour and looking back at it, like we specifically wrote down a bunch of things that we could just level up. Like we're always working on our live show. Our live show specifically is just amateur compared to theirs. Like,
well, just, sure. don't hate on yourself so much because it should be. You know, I mean, you're brand new.
It's raw. It's raw. Like they are their light show. Their sound is so dialed in. They in between songs, there's zero confusion. It's basically everything's tightened up so well and so much that they are able to really fully enjoy themselves on stage. And I feel like we're still, you know, anxious a lot. And even if we don't show it, we're anxious, you know, kind of looking around between songs, too much silence on stage. I'm not good at talking to the audience.
In a way that can kind of make it exciting though, because
we're getting there. But yeah, it's always it's a work in progress at all times.
But I mean, you also shouldn't be so hard on yourself because they have a budget and they've been doing it for they've got decades under their belt. You know, you've got like 2 tours, so just kind of like, you know, yeah, on the back, give yourself some, you know, kudos and you know, move forward for sure. But all that stuff comes in time. So, you know what I mean? Like, I guess my only advice would be like, don't rush yourself. Cause obviously, again, you guys are so young. If you really think about it, you know, they've done it for 30 plus years. So, you know, if you can do that.
Yeah.
You'll be pretty good off. So,
new
albums coming out. What is the biggest difference between, you know, that, the new album Grand Currents and Essence?
The new album coming out, what's the difference between the newest one that's about to come out and the previous
materials that have come out?
What do you, Abe, why don't you go? What do you think?
I just kind of got into the band. Like, I was in the band for a really, really long time, but I got like into the band in like 2021.
Writing process.
Yeah,
you got led into the writing process.
I let them write all the songs, and then I got into it. And so during the studio time, I was like actually getting into even my own music taste. I was like forming it, and I was really getting excited during the studio time. I don't really know what changed because I didn't write Grand Currents. Well, it's just they wrote Grand Currents.
Yeah, me and Eli were the main writers in the band. Even I think it's probably all credited to all three of us, as it always is. But me and Eli wrote all the songs up until nonetheless. But that's because Abe, you know, not like he had stuff going on. It was always
also thin, you know, it is whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, it's whatever. But now he's fully into it. Now he's like he's got his own thing. The next album's gonna be like mostly him. Mostly Abe's writing.
Next.
A lot of keyboard, a lot of key solos, a lot of cool bass stuff.
Yeah, Geddy Lee stuff. the main difference I'd say from Nonetheless to the last two is,
I'd say I can go out.
Yeah, you go.
I'd say we didn't do a click on this one. This is not about writing. I think it's way tighter. For some reason, we had issues. I had issues getting everything tight, just because we'd play in the basement and wouldn't have like a tempo map set up, and then I'd go in the studio and do that. Obviously, like producer, slightly unprofessional, not being able to do that. But I'd go in the studio and I'd just be like very confused, because we'd kind of changed tempo a lot back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
We'd slide it up and down. It wouldn't be like a tempo change. It'd be like a natural slide or something like that.
It wouldn't be purposeful. It would just be like,
feel the music. Yeah. I think as each album goes on, that gets better and better.
Nonetheless, was pretty much, except for the vocals, recorded live, right? I mean,
yeah, we're all just
all in the studio, we're all just playing, and there's only a tick on one song, and it's the first part of Fruition, the second single. It's already out. There's a tick on that one, because
everybody will know.
Yeah,
the whole album by now. But
we just spent like a whole day of studio time trying to nail that song. We couldn't do it, so we just couldn't hold
the tempo. Needed something to anchor it.
Yeah,
we needed an anchor.
How frustrating is that in the studio?
Very,
very. You can hear. I'm pretty sure maybe we took it out. There was a scream of rage at the end of that, where it was from me. I might have left it in on early takes.
Well, I remember the last part we couldn't nail because of the tick.
We turned the tick off
at the end,
at the break,
and I just kind of raged on that last riff, and it kind of sounds good. So
yeah,
that works.
It was good.
I did a animal from
Muppets.
Yeah, nice. So, I mean, like, songwriting's getting better as you continue writing songs. You're finding more of your voice and stuff like that. Where do you see, I mean, it's been 10 years technically. where do you see yourself in 10 years from now?
Every year up until 10 years from now, we hope to get 5-10% better at everything. Better at live shows, better at writing. We want to have, by that
consistent,
time, probably
consistent shows.
Probably 3, 4, 5 more albums out. 4, maybe.
What, how many? 5 years?
10 years.
10 years? I hope
we take a long time. More, yeah, maybe like more.
7 albums.
Yeah. Maybe, okay, well, all right, whatever. Yeah, just better and better with each album. Upward trajectory. We want, yeah. By that time, we hope to be making a living off of it. Hopefully, we're not right now at all.
Yeah, yeah. Do you guys, not all of you may have jobs, but do some of you have jobs? You have to kick in.
Yeah, Abe's in school. He's a, what are you, sophomore? Yeah. Abe's a sophomore.
What are
you? Me and Eli work. Yeah, we work full time. And then the band is, it kind of always has been, but it's like a 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. That's band hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. So you're just kind of hoping to one day take it, full on. Do you guys, like, again, I know you were saying, like, your mom could be basically the manager, but, like, do you guys, when you're on social media, do you guys interact with other bands and stuff like that? Do you guys, like, try to form relationships with other bands via social media? Or is it just the guys that you, like, hang out with on tour that you just actually can, talk to?
I'd say it's more if we play with them. Like if we hang out with them on tour, that's way better. I can't really name a lot of bands that we've connected with on social media.
Social media, not social. Like, obviously, like, the manager will get in contact with other managers. And
the only bands or guys that I talk to in bands are guys that I've met in person or played shows with, or we've toured with, or yeah, stuff like this. It's never social media is. Love, hate, mostly hate.
I get it. Yeah, you're a lot younger, so it's interesting on your take. Abe, I would love to know your take on social media.
I'm not really on the business side of anything, so
no, I mean, just in general. Just in general, what do you think about it? Because you're 16.
I don't like social media at all.
Yeah,
interesting.
I don't like being like, they won't. I mean, not them, but the people who tell us to do stuff want us to like play a riff or for social media or do this 15-second thing. That's complete BS to me.
totally agree. And I think they would tell you he's talking about our managers. They agree.
Right, I get it. I get who he's talking about. And I get both sides, but it's to them, it's like, it takes no time at all, but it's more than 15 seconds. It's probably going to be like a whole ordeal.
We've had this, they are sick and tired of hearing us say this, but basically a 15-second video to us. If I film like a little riff, I used to do this all the time for the band. If I film like my riff of the day or something like that, it takes a long time for me to actually make that look good and play it right. I honestly, like, it takes an hour from setting up the camera to posting the video easily.
Yeah, if that.
Time, yeah, not, maybe. Like, oh yeah, if not longer. And even after that hour, I still hate it. I still hate what I've done.
Right.
Other than like marketing, you haven't really gotten like any much value. I feel like
we're not good at social media.
Yeah, I would just say do it and let them post it because it's obviously needed. But I understand that you boys don't want to do it at all. I can feel that.
None of us personally have it in our, like, I don't have any of the apps personally. It's all for the band.
Right. Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, that's kind of unique that you guys are younger and just like not even on social media at all.
After high school, are you on it? Are you on like Snapchat?
I'm on Snapchat. I mean, I don't have like Instagram or Twitter.
Weird.
I got rid of all of it after high school because I was spending like hours and hours and hours a day on it. So, and I was totally addicted. Yeah.
Interesting, Abe. I want to ask you. You can be honest. How does it feel to be forced to be in the band because you are the only one to play bass?
I used to complain about this so much. I used to like want to leave the band. Like,
you did leave the band.
You nailed it on the head right there.
I thought like nobody needed a bassist. No band needs a bassist. You can't really hear them.
You don't need social media. You don't need a bass player. You got some hot takes, my friend.
That's what I used to think. And I'm really into the band now. I love playing bass and I love playing keys. recently.
It used to be like a schedule, like let's get Abe into the jam room to learn the songs. For like that was like for 7 years.
They had that's to like pay me to get into the
gym. Yeah, now yeah,
it's younger brother stuff. So I, you know, yeah, I assume he picked up the bass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wanted to play drums originally. So you're salty about that for 4 years. And then
he was kind of good too.
And he's still good.
Just rub it in. Abe's gonna break off and form his own band.
Yep.
He's gonna have all the solo stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna do the solo thing.
I mean, Abe can play like can play like three instruments right now. So
the thing is, I've thought about like when we used to make like with Abe in the writing process, the album that comes out in the next year or two that we're still writing right now. With a lot of the stuff we're writing, it's not metal in the slightest bit. And I used to think like, well, if it's not going to be metal, then it's not going to be a Hammerhead thing. Then we'll just do solo stuff. But now we all three like the exact same stuff. When we come up with a good idea, it's just good to us. And it's just going to go on Hammerhead's out. Like, we'll just make that a song. We don't really care. It's just whatever we're feeling. That's what Hammerhead is. Now that's the last 2 years. That's kind of what we think, especially with Abe and his injection of like keyboard and, you know, bass lines that are not completely following the guitar lines anymore.
Yeah. Even last album is basically just the guitar line.
Yeah, it's which has
gotten away
from which it. Is dumbed down and stupid. It's,
yeah,
that gets scrolled.
Yeah, but that's probably why you hated it.
That's probably why you hated it. Yeah.
So, what was I gonna ask you? I just was gonna think. Yeah, fuck it, it's gone. So we're gonna keep it moving. Ideal tour. Obviously, you guys are younger. Obviously, I would assume you want to tour with Metallica, so that's off the table. What would be like your dream tour? Let's put Rush and Led Zeppelin on that, or any old classic rock band.
Oh, any.
Oh, come on.
So yeah, take them all out. I want you to flex that muscle on your head. So think of some bands that you would want to tour with.
Pink Floyd, that's pretty easy.
Pink Floyd, easily for him.
No classic rock band. Come on.
Oh, I thought you said.
No classic rock.
I was like, if you're gonna say, I thought you said death. Okay, never mind. Currently,
no, in general, like, yeah, your dream tour. It doesn't have to be like tomorrow, but like if you could at any time.
Okay, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard is huge. Those shows are badass. I've never been to one. I would love to be on a tour with them. How's that sus? Hell,
I don't know about them.
What, dude?
King Gizzard?
They are sick.
I mean, I probably respect them.
I respect them as musicians. They're yeah. Sick. Meshuggah, Mastodon, Gojira, all those dogs.
And you gotta say one, dude. You're just going on and on.
No, that's a dream tour. That could be the whole tour.
Okay.
Okay, dream tour with four bands. Us being the fourth would be Meshuggah, Mastodon.
That's mine.
That's
the one.
There you go.
Nice. Or like Tool. I know Tool actually does take kind of relatively obscure bands on tour sometimes, so that would be cool.
If you could pee on somebody, you might be able to go on tour with them, because you know that's what happened with the Brass Against band.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she peed. You didn't hear about that? That was out of Rockville, actually. You can look it up. She peed on some guy from the crowd. He came on stage. Somehow that was allowed to happen, and then.
Wait, what?
He on some guy's head.
He went on tour with her?
That was real.
Not the guy. The band, whoa. Brass Against, went on like a European tour with Tool.
Oh, okay. Yes, I agree. Yes. So Maynard probably saw that and was like, hell yeah.
I think they were scheduled to tour with them before that, but yeah. Okay. But the weird thing about them is they're like a cover band too. I think they play one or two originals when I saw them at Rockville. But they're mostly like a cover band that just has a lot of horns and brass. So it's interesting.
I've heard something from them.
I have heard. I think I've heard.
Oh, it was from Tool. They played Tool.
Yeah, they covered Tool, Rage Against the Machine, and a bunch of other stuff.
They played
They
played the pot.
Well, the problem with those, like Dream Tour, ideally, you said Metallica or like Tool or any of these bands that I mentioned, we are not big enough, professional enough live show, even close yet, to fill the room that
they would. That's why we said Dream Tour.
Yeah, like, so
you're good enough to do all that.
Like 4 or 5 years. Give us 4 or 5 years.
That's why I said it'll have to be tomorrow. It could be at any time.
But yeah.
Cool. Well, what are you guys into outside of, you know, Hammerhead and, you know, metal music? Do you listen to other kinds of music?
Mostly other kinds of music. I'd say we listen to very, even though metal is what we are, none of us listen to a lot of metal mostly. I'd say it's most like late. What is it? What's your favorite lately? What in the house lately? It's been,
it's like
All Things Must Pass, George Harrison, Ram by Paul McCartney, Wilco, David, Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, David Bowie, Elton John. It's a lot of just random stuff. It's mostly not metal, but like my metal listening is like in the car personally.
Yeah, I can get that. I do all of that too.
Or the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For that lift, bro. Gotta get the pump in.
Hell yeah.
Well, I appreciate you guys being on the podcast, even though Lamb Goat is older than all three of you, not combined, but we're slightly older than all of you. But yeah, man, it was really interesting to see you guys at Archetype. And then when John kind of threw me your way, I was like, yeah, we'll definitely have him on. Cause I think that you guys sound really good. The new stuff sounds really good. It's just like a lot to take in. So a lot of people will nod their head, stand there for a couple of years, but eventually they'll figure it out. You know what I mean? You won't be so young. He might, don't hate me, Abe. He might go through puberty and people might, you'll be onto something. So yeah, I think just keep your head down, post the riffs if you have to every now and then. Don't do them all the time, but every now and then do that. And just, yeah, keep doing what you're doing, guys. And I hope to see you guys, in the future. I'm sure at Rockville, you're playing this year, correct? Is what you said?
Yeah, and we'll be your way this summer. In a month, it'll be announced. We'll be your way. We'll be your way.
Yeah, we go all the way around, right?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Longer one. Cool. Well, either way, like we just said a million times, Rockville, I'll see you there.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the comment. Thank you.
Abe, Eli, Henry, best of luck to you, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you. Have a good one.
You too.
Hey, everyone. This is Tuck from Fit for a King in Off-Road Minivan. Every week, I bring you fun interviews alongside your favorite metalcore entertainers with my new podcast, Get Tucked. Join me every Monday with bands like Counterparts, Crystal Lake, like Moths to Flames, and many more. We play unsigned and undiscovered bands, deep dive into each artist's history, and of course provide the greatest breakdowns in current metalcore. Tune in to Get Tucked every Monday, out now through Sound Talent Media.